God be beneficent, be merciful, the creator and the sustainer of the universe. Peace and blessings upon his servant and messenger Muhammad forever. Amin. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except the one true God, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger and servant of God. I greet you in our usual fashion with the universal greetings of peace, a greeting that has been used by all of the prophets from Abraham through the prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon them all. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be unto you. I'm your host, Hamid Rashid. Today we continue with our second program in our new series dealing with the social system of Islam. Today we'll be continuing our discussion of human equality and brotherhood. I have joining me on the program as usual, Dr. Jamal Badawi of St. Mary's University. Brother Jamal, as-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Before we continue with our discussion of human equality and brotherhood, I wonder if perhaps you could just very quickly take us back to the main point that we touched upon in our first program in this new series last week.
Definitely. Well, the main thing that was emphasized last time is that the concept of human equality and brotherhood is a very profound principle in Islam. It emphasizes that all human beings have come from the same common parenthood, that is, Adam and Eve, that there is no idea at all in Islam of any caste system or different status of people in their own creation. So there is nobody really who is superior to the others on the basis of his birth.
Yes.
Nor is there anyone who is destined to be in a lower social status simply because his predecessors were poor or low in the commonly defined social status as people believe in. We emphasize also that there is no single incident in the Quran, the Word of God as believed by Muslims, where God is referred to as the God of a particular tribe or group of people or race, that it always talks about God as the Lord of the universe and Lord of mankind as such. And that is a basic foundation also for human equality and brotherhood. The main theme really of the first program dealt with the foundation of human equality and brotherhood in Islam, and said there are three basic foundations for this. One is the foundation from belief, second is foundation from the moral code of Islam, and thirdly the beginning of discussion of the conceptual foundation, the basic principles enshrined in the Quran and prophetic traditions. On the question of belief, the main point that was emphasized is that beliefs are not really separate from social systems. We have shown, for example, that belief in the pure monotheism or the oneness of God has a serious implication in terms of human equality and brotherhood. Because once we believe that there is only one God, one creator, there is nothing in between God and man, there is directly either creator, God, or created human, that establishes basic human equality and brotherhood. Secondly, we referred also in the question of belief to the belief or oneness of the message of all the prophets. We said oneness of God applies or implies of necessity belief in the oneness of all the prophets, that all prophets carried basically the same message, yes, to submit to God and follow his path. And that means again that all of those prophets were brothers. Their followers, if they are sincere and true to their faith, they really have to be also, they have to be brothers themselves. In the second basic foundation, or moral foundation, we have indicated that any aspects in the moral code of Islam, whether they are prohibited acts or moral virtues, are not only acts of individual piety. They have their effect, benefit or harm on the individual, yes, but their harm or benefit is also related to social behavior and social morality, so it does affect society in that sense, and so this is the second foundation. We had only little time towards the end to,
yes,
just begin on the what we call, I call the conceptual foundation, or the basic principle or ideological ground for human equality and brotherhood. We touched very briefly on the story of Adam and Eve, not in detail, really, just mentioned in broad terms, how the story of Adam and Eve, as depicted in the Quran, is a little different from previous traditions, in a sense that it is not mentioned only as mere historical chronology of what events happened, but it is a principle that is repeated and related to actual behavior and actual implication in terms of human equality, particularly the question of common mission of mankind on earth as the trustee of God on earth.
Well, as you mentioned, we didn't have a chance to really explore the story of creation as it's indicated in the Quran. I wonder if perhaps you could take us to the Quran and perhaps read the story as it's related in the Quran.
Well, for shortness of time, I perhaps can choose one, because you know, there are several references in the Quran that are indicated to the story. But perhaps in about 10 verses in chapter 2 in the Quran, verses 28 through 38, it gives more or less the essence of the story. Mm-hmm. It starts in the translation. How can you reject the faith in God, seeing that you were without life and he gave you life? Then he will cause you to die and will again bring you to life, and again to him will you return. It is he, that's God, who has created for you all things that are on earth. Moreover, his design comprehends the heavens, for he gave order and perfection to the seven firmaments, seven heavens as people call them, and of all things he has perfect knowledge. And then it touches more specifically on the prelude or the immediate stage before the creation of Adam and Eve. And it says, behold, your Lord said to the angel, I will create a trustee on earth. They said, will you place therein one who will make mischief therein and shed blood, while we do celebrate your praise and glorify your holy name? He said, that's God, I know what you don't know. And he taught Adam the nature of all things. Then he placed them before the angel and said, tell me the nature of these if you are right. They, that's the angel, said, glory to thee. Of knowledge we have none, save that which he has taught us. In truth, and you are perfect in knowledge and wisdom. He said, O Adam, after Adam was saved, O Adam, tell them their natures. When he had told them, God said, did I not tell you that I know the secrets of heaven and earth, and I know what you reveal and what you conceal? And behold, another important scene, behold, we said that God, we said to the angels, bow down to Adam. To the angels, bow down to Adam. And they bowed down. Not so Iblis or Satan. He refused and was haughty. He was of those who reject faith. We said, O Adam, dwell you and your wife in the garden and eat of the bountiful things therein. And where and when you will, but approach not this tree. It doesn't say which tree. Approach not this tree. Or you run into harm and transgression. Then did Satan make them slip from the garden and get them out of it. That's by tempting them to eat from the tree. And get them out of the state of felicity in which they had been. We said, get you down, all of you, with enmity between you on earth will be your dwelling place and your means of livelihood for a time. That's until the day of judgment. Then learned Adam, this is a very important difference again from previous tradition. Then learned Adam from his Lord words of instruction. and his Lord turned towards him, for he is oft returning, most merciful. We said, get you down all from here, and if, as it is sure, there comes to you guidance from me, that is through prophets, revelation, whosoever follows my guidance on them, there shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. But those who reject faith and believe or deny our signs, they shall be the companions of fire, they shall abide therein.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, this is only one of other places in the Quran where the story is presented also with different emphasis on different points, but I thought that this particular quotation gives a broader view of the basic story of creation.
I wonder if perhaps I can get you to perhaps analyze the text that you've just recited and shed some light on its implications to the issue that we've been discussing in this program, that is the issue of human brotherhood and equality.
In other words, how they relate to
how they relate, right.
Okay. Well, first of all, it is noted that this story of creation is preceded, as we recited earlier. It didn't start even talking about how God created Adam.
No.
It started even by saying that God created for mankind everything on earth. That's even before Adam was created. And this has an important implication and relates to the previous point we discussed in the last question of the previous program. The question of trusteeship of mankind, the basic mission for which human beings are created on earth. The fact that the creation of earth was made before the creation of mankind implies that the essence or the central thing in human life or human living on earth is not really sin. In other words, sin is not the central thing in man's life, but responsibility, trusteeship. And that's why the Quran mentioned it first. Second interesting thing is that when God announced this news of the creation of a trustee on earth, the angels were wondering. They were not objecting to God's decision. They were simply wondering. They say, how would you create somebody who would shed blood and do lots of mischief on earth? Again, the question is, how did the angels know or predict that this person or the human species will have any corruption on earth? There are a number of explanations. One possibility is that the very fact that God told them that this particular creature, mankind, would be my trustee on earth. Trusteeship in the mind of angels might have implied that you have to struggle because you are a trustee, you have to do something, you have to take decisions and struggle for choice. And that could imply also the possibility of existence of evil.
Or errors,
exactly. So that could be one possible reason why they were wondering. The other explanation, which seems to be more appealing to me, because it's also confirmed in the Quran elsewhere, is that the angels noted that this particular creature would be created from clay, because God told them, I'll create him from clay. Well, what is clay? It doesn't have to be literally. It could mean both literally clay or the same basic elements that exist in the clay, basic minerals, for example, that you find on earth. Which means that this human or this species of creation, while he may have something of the spirit of God within him, he will also have a material body, a physical body, which is also a reflection of his materialistic nature, greed, and temptation towards evil. So that's why the angels were worried, not for themselves, they were worried that God would be disobeyed on earth. Indeed, for example, in chapter 38, verse 71, it puts it slightly differently by way of clarification. It says, when God said to the angels, I'm going to create a species from clay. So the clay even is mentioned there specifically. Now, what's the implication of this point? Well, the implication here is that if all human beings are created initially from clay through Adam, Adam and Eve, and when all human beings also are born through the same reproductive function, you know, becoming fetus and then get born, basic function, then there is no room for any human being to claim that he is superior to others, because they all come from the same origin, that's basically clay, physical body. Another aspect that was clear in that quotation is that God told the angels I know what you don't know. There are things that I know that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
What are these things that God was speaking about? Well, it could refer to the fact that even though angels are the purest creation, of course, they cannot sin by definition, but still, the human species in particular was blessed by God with certain knowledge. That could be the knowledge or nature of things, as some people translate it, as man. It could be the knowledge of the secrets of the universe. It could be the potential and aptitude of the human being to receive God's message or law and struggle to implement it. It could be a reference to the fact that this particular species of creation is quite different from animals or material things and different even from angels, because he has a free choice. He's a free agent and he has to make a decision between right and wrong, between good and evil. And that itself could be a source of great strength and sense of responsibility. Now, if all human beings then are equal in that sense, then why then should anyone claim that he's a better human than the other, at least in this basic sense? The interesting thing about the angels, there is mention also in this quotation and elsewhere, for example, in chapter 17, verse 70, there is also a petition of the same basic point that God ordered or commanded the angels to bow down to Adam. Now, that means that anybody who claims to be a human being, anybody who of necessity came of the lineage of Adam and Eve, shared the same basic dignity which was expressed by angels bound to his forefather Adam. And this is very significant because that shows the special status accorded to the human if he follows the path of God, as we find in the Quran. And it shows also when Satan disobeyed God, that haughtiness, snobbishness, and false claim of superiority on the basis of sex, race, or any other, or nationality, are totally false, and this pride is so dangerous that it was really the very main reason why Satan was thrown out of paradise. It's clear then from this whole discussion that human beings are not only equal in terms of the basis of their creation, basis of their mission, but they are also equal in their basic nature and the temptation that they are subjected to by Satan, and also in the potential of improvement and goodness once they start on the right path of God.
Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to the story of creation and its implications as you just explained them, are there additional explicit statements in the Quran which enshrine the principle of human equality and brotherhood?
There are several, but perhaps one important thing to notice here is that in the Quran, the style it addresses people vary.
Mm-hmm.
For example, whenever the Quran addresses believers in particular, or reminds them of their particular obligation, it uses Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, or O believers. But the interesting thing is that when it talks about broader human equality and brotherhood, broader human elements which are common among all human beings, it does not address them by O believers. It says Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O mankind, exactly. Mankind, which means mankind, black, white, rich, poor, east, west, believer in this state or that state, or non-believer at all. It addresses humanity as a basic quality, which is a very interesting way of addressing it. It doesn't just talk about special race or chosen people or anything. It addresses mankind.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you maybe three or four examples to illustrate the point.
Mm-hmm.
In one quotation in the same chapter, for example, that we recited from chapter 2, in verse 21, it addresses mankind in general. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ عَبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, O mankind, worship your Lord Guardian. Now, this particular verse actually was even mentioned prior to the story of creation, which shows that aside even from your particular belief, you as humans, you should all remember that you have all been created by the same God, if you will, which again is the basis for human equality. A second example For example, in chapter 2, the same chapter, verse 168, it talks about the right of all human beings to enjoy the legitimate boundaries that God has created on earth. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ. All mankind eat from what is on earth lawful and good. Again, it implies here that aside from the question of faith or race or nationality or all that, all human beings are equal, at least in that particular sense. You don't say, all right, I'll starve you to death because you don't believe the same faith as I do. You know, everybody has the right in some share in the sources that God has left us with.
Mm-hmm.
A third example, which is really a very beautiful one when you think about it because of its serious implications, not only about human equality in terms of other, you know, race, color, nationality, but also in terms of male and female. That appears in chapter 4 in the Quran, in the first verse. It says in the translation, O mankind, again, generally, revere your guardian Lord who created you from a single person, created of like nature, his mate, that is, and from them he scatters like seed countless men and women. Reverence God through whom you demand your mutual rights, and reverence the womb that bore you, respectful mother, for God ever watches over you. So again, the principle is enshrined, again, not addressing Muslims or just believers, but addressing mankind at large. And finally, equality is emphasized in the Quran also in a sense that regardless of even faith, particular religious belief, all mankind share one particular thing, that all of them are going back to God to stand, you know, their trial or accountability. An example of this we find in chapter 19 in the Quran, particularly in verses 93 through 95, just read it in translation quickly. It says, not one of the beings in the heavens and the earth doth not come to God, most gracious, as a servant. He does take an account of them all, and has numbered them all exactly. And every one of them, every human being, regardless, every one of them will come to him singly on the day of death. That everybody will come as an individual. Two interpretations. Every individual will come on his personal, individual responsibility to stand his accountability, or that all mankind will come to God for accountability as one. That they're all equal in his sight. It depends on their own deeds. But in terms of being humans, equally sharing that particular destiny, there's no dispute about it.
Now, within the framework of a basic here, human quality, is there any legitimate basis of for distinctions among human beings?
Yes, there are, but not in the basic human quality.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the absolute equality in the spiritual and human sense is the equality that we refer to in terms of there is no human who is a superior human, for example, simply because of some accidental things or incidental things relating to birth or race or nationality or whatever. But it does not mean, of course, that equality also means that the good and bad are equal.
Yes.
Definitely there are objective and fair ways of distinction between people.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to avoid any mistaken notions or mistaken basis for judging superiority or goodness of people, the Quran answers this in the most concise and beautiful way in a verse that is very widely quoted. In chapter 49, verse 13,
mm-hmm.
It says, O mankind, we created you from a single pair of a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes, that you may know each other. Not that you despise each other. Verily, the most honored of you in the sight of God is he or she who is most righteous of you, and God has full knowledge and is well acquainted with all things. This is a very interesting, you might say, declaration of basic human equality that 1400 years ago was revealed, and still we don't see any declaration by United Nations or otherwise that come closer to its beauty, precision, and comprehensiveness. Like other verses quoted before, it addresses mankind at large. regardless of belief, regardless of any other distinction that people might think of. It shows that there's only one basic source or basis of distinction between human beings that's acceptable to God. That's piety and goodness. And when you look at the word piety, it is a word in Islam or taqwa that enshrines everything that's good, whether that is related to proper, correct belief, whether it relates to moral qualities of the human being, whether it relates to how beneficial a particular person is to other human beings. This is all contained in the word afqaqum, the most righteous or the most God-conscious of you. And finally, if I may add one more comment to this, which is quite interesting also, is that in this particular verse, it talks about God creating different nations and tribes so that they can get to know each other. And this is quite interesting because in some other traditions that preceded Islam, some people, for example, used to believe that the source of this distinction or difference in human languages is the story of the Tower of Babel, that God looked and found that people are building the tower between two strong, so he changed the languages. In the Quran, we find nothing like that at all. On the contrary, indeed, one verse in the Quran says, and among the signs of God is the creation of heavens and earth and the variations in your tongues and colors. So the distinction of complexion or race and the variations in tongues is regarded in the Quran as a blessing rather than as something that came as a result of, some rivalry between the power of man and the power of God, because God has got all the power. Which is quite an interesting concept altogether, that the variations of language and color is something like a provision of a mosaic, which would make life more interesting, would make life more challenging, and would provide an opportunity, as the verse just cited, to give people a chance to know each other, that every language is beautiful, every color is beautiful, every race is beautiful. These are variations rather than distinctions in terms of superiority or inferiority.
You think that Pierre Ali Trudeau might have been aware of this verse from the Quran when he established the policy on multiculturalism in Canada?
Well, I can see that he might have been aware of it or not, I don't know, but the good thing about the Quran is that even people who are not aware of the Quran, with the pure nature of the humans, when they try to arrive at some good principles, you will find it still there in the Quran, whether people are aware of it or not.
We had multiculturalism 1400 years ago.
Right, exactly.
But I want to thank you. We've exhausted our time for the day. Thank you for watching our program. Join us next week. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you.